I suppose if we looked at the Feast of the Epiphany and we said that the word in its basic sense means, as Maureen said at the welcome of Mass, it means the revealing or a revealing. So it has overtones of a light being shone, and that we get an understanding and we get not just an image, but we have an experience of the closeness of God. It's like coming from some darker place, if you like, into a brighter place and now understanding. And in the scriptural sense, in the story that Matthew has given us here, there's a physical side of it too. That lightness is represented by the star, of course, and then we have the child Jesus, so we actually have the physical face of God there. And then the writers have put some little bits and pieces in there to make sure that we don't lose interest, but it also helps us, particularly if we have an inquiring mind, to journey into the event itself. And that is all another method of revealing. We believe that our sacred scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Inspired by the Holy Spirit means that God reveals himself in scripture. It's one way. Others would say that God is revealed through experiences. Others would say that I'm a very visual person, and I can truly understand the beauty and the gentleness of God and the power of God in nature. Others would say that God is revealed to me in music, very good music, that lifts me up, and we say it even helps us pray, good music does. So God is revealed in all sorts of ways, and quite often it is to touch our senses, all of our senses. There are probably people who say that, oh, God is revealed in the best Christmas pudding ever. I don't know. But it does say to us that God reveals himself in many and varied ways. And that's the whole story, or the whole image that comes from the story that Matthew gives us in those 12 little verses today. So the image of God is revealed, we could say first, if we talk about the wise men. Now, everybody thinks that there were three kings. They've even written carols about it, haven't they? Well, there's no mention that there were three. There's none whatsoever in Matthew's thing. People have adapted that from about the 700s, so 700 years later, and they just assumed that because the three gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh were mentioned, that there must have been three. And then it was assumed that, well, they were kings. Once again, that's about the 700s, really. The wise men who were astrologers and astronomers at that time, there was not really a big difference. But they were men of science, particularly of astral science. And they came from the east, we're told, and in time they were transferred to become kings. But once again, about 700 years, because there's no mention of kings other than Jesus as the king of all creation in that story. So what happens during the course of God's unfolding creation is he reveals himself in story. He reveals himself in historical fact as well, in all of creation, in the groaning of creation, scripture tells us. And sometimes those things are the beauty of nature, the beauty of music, the beauty of artwork. Now, so how does, for example, if I challenged you and said, how does God reveal himself to you? And some of you might say, I come closest to experiencing God in absolute silence. So, Father Richard, I wish you'd be quiet and let me experience God. Others would say it might be a very inspiring talk that God reveals himself to me. It might be the fact that I put my energy into going into nature. I experience the revelation of God. I don't see the face of God. In a sense, I see his fingerprint or his footprint in the journey of my life and as the things unfold in my life. The presence of God is definitely there. I know that because I know the times when I feel God isn't present in my life. And that leads some of us to going back to the despair, if you like, the darkness. And so what Matthew has done is he really highlights that by using King Herod. And King Herod, at his best, was quite an evil man. And so Herod represents fear, and he represents misuse of power, and he represents the darkness of the world, particularly darkness which comes out of people who want to use power as a force for evil. So that's who Herod represents. And then on the other side, we have the wise men, who in time became kings in the story. But the wise men. And the wise men represent several things that God is revealed through them. Firstly, they come from the east. They are not Jews. They are not the chosen race. So they're outsiders. And they've come from a foreign country. Yet they recognise who Jesus is. So God is revealed to us, not exclusively to me because I happen to be Catholic and a priest. God reveals himself to the whole world, all of creation. And that's what the three wise men represent. All of humanity. And some people come very close to experiencing that revelation of God, and others get lost in the mystery of it. And some probably fight it as well in the course of their life. But the wise men, and that word gets used so many times, wise men, what they represent is the opposite to Herod. Herod in darkness, the wise men follow the star, and they bring wisdom into the world. Those wise men open up wisdom, the wisdom of God, which is for everybody. A wisdom so powerful and marvellous that we can't grasp it. But at times we get glimpses. God does reveal ourselves in glimpses. And then there are times like the dark night of the soul the saints talk about where we just feel so lost and alone. But because at some stage in our life we have experienced the closeness of God, the beauty of God, the peace of God, we know that he is present. But something is blocking me from experiencing his presence at the moment. And that's what our prayer journey is about. Understanding what that block is and what can I do to remove that. We do that best in community, at our very best in community, because we use all of our senses to see that this person here is sad. Something is going on in their life at the moment. I can be the wise man or wise woman. I can be the light of Christ to come into their life. I can do that. And so can each and every one of you. You have that gift within you. So don't hold back in 2022. Do not hold back from bringing that light of Christ into everybody's life that you come across, particularly those who find us quite odd because we would want to come into a community of faith when we would probably be having a lot more laughs down at the beach with a few beers and barbecues and blowflies. But we actually can do those things with our family and our friends. But our priority is firstly to acknowledge that God reveals himself in our life and to do something about it. Take that revelation and inspire and enlighten people's lives. All of us can do that. And I really believe that in these times, these days and strange nights, that we should take up that challenge. We should not be shy to smile when everybody else is a bit sour, to lift our head high when people are walking with their backs tilted and head facing the ground. We should not be shy to laugh. I mentioned that at Christmas. We should not be shy to make someone's day. When you say Happy New Year, truly mean it. Not like we started Mass, which was a bit tongue-in-cheek, Happy New Year. That's right up there with ho, ho, ho. Doesn't cut it. The happiness that we're talking about touches our very soul, and it is so generous of God to do that for us that we must pass that on, and we will be changed. And that's the third way that God revealed himself through the wise men. When they left, they didn't go back the way they came. They went via a different route, which is the scriptural way of saying their life was changed. They were different. So this year, 2022, I hope that your life is different. For the better. I hope that strangers come into your life who bring with them a sense of hope, a sense of good humour, a sense of good health. And I hope that these people become a long and deep part of your life. and that will help remove the loneliness that exists because of a pandemic. So let us go searching this year for the stranger. Let us be that light of Christ for those who may feel lost. Let us be the light of Christ that brings hope to people who feel hopeless.